Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
How to play football. Football needs special equipment. A college covered with ivy, a coliseum or stadium filled to overflowing with 100,000 rabid, wildly cheering fans, great armies of vendors, managers, mascots, photographers, sports writers, doctors, elaborate brass bands, assorted coaches, old grads, scores of Annie Oakleys, and two teams resplendent in brilliant uniforms create a riot of color and atmosphere unequaled by any other game on earth. Now, the object of the game is to advance the ball over the goal line.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by Ecolon, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. If Mother Earth and Father Time had a baby, never mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I never know what you mean by those things.
I'm just too funny.
You are. You're just, you're funnier than any three people that I know.
I'm funnier today because I got an extra hour of sleep.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
If you go to MikeNovak.net and you go to this week's show, the big alarm clock is there, showing 9 a.m. and... Did you have one of those moments this morning? I had a couple where I would look at the clock and I go,
"Yes,
I'm late."
Yes, the panic like in the chest
little
moment.
Panic, and
yeah.
I had to keep telling myself, all right, if the show starts at 9, it's okay for me to leave the house at 8.
Right.
And I had to keep telling myself that because, oh, wait, it starts at, no, calm down.
Yeah.
It starts and... I understand you had a run-in with John W. Ossifer Friendly Jr. this morning.
I sure did. I've noticed that when you roll through stop signs at 6:30 in the morning, you get away with it a lot better than at 7:30 in the morning
a
Sunday. The cops have had their donuts and coffee and are alert and refreshed and waiting for you. And I was like, damn. He was very nice, though. He gave me like the lowest level of...
punishment.
You know, yes.
Was it
keep my license.
Three Hail Marys and two Our Fathers?
Oh, yeah, it may have well been. It was 40 bucks.
was it Oak Park, Johned Up, or was it Chicago?
It was, I believe, Berwyn. Berwyn Cicero.
Berwyn?
Yeah.
Do you have to go through Berwyn to
get
in here?
I do. I go through Berwyn, Cicero, and Stickney, kind of, and then jump on Central and shoot on into the city.
Very quickly, of course.
Yes. No, at the legal speed limit and quite safely, actually. Sure, well, whatever.
Well, first things first, because we've got a lot. By the way, this is the new time.
Yep.
Kids, if you're listening, the Mike Novak Show now starts at 9 a.m. Central Time, whatever that means. And we go till 11. Mighty House. I listened to Mighty House yesterday. And I got to tell you something. They sounded really comfortable in their new time slot, and it hurt. It hurt.
Aw.
They just seemed to be doing fine without us.
Well, they're big boys. They can
and
do
girls.
It. Yes.
And, no, they were great. And Mighty House is now on 7 a.m. on Saturday. So you get your Saturday off to a good start with Mighty House. And it's a shame because I've got the Bloody Mary mix here.
Right. Today we bring the booze. Or well, the mix anyway,
no,
for it.
Don't, not necessarily booze.
No, just, it's not booze. It's
just
a mix.
Just a mix.
And it's all organic.
It's right. We'll talk about it. And as a matter of fact, I've got it right here. It's the Tomato Mountain Organic Bloody Mary Mix. And it's because I sent out my newsletter the other day. And by the way, if you're not on the list and getting the Mike Novak newsletter, you're not in touch. That went out on Friday. If you want to get a newsletter from me, and I don't send them out very often, so I try not to clutter up people's inboxes on their computers. And I got to tell you, when you're me and you get I must get 80 newsletters a day. Some people just send them out relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you want to unsubscribe. But that's not me. I send one out like every 4 months or something. Every 3 months. What happened was I sent that out. And Robin Shermer from Tomato Mountain and their CSA, which is Community Supported Agriculture. Oh, look at the phones are ringing off the hook already. It said, you know what, if you stop by, first of all, she wanted to remind me that the CSA at Tomato Mountain, which is certified organic, has a 10-week fall season starting October 18th to 19th and going through December 20th and 21st. So you really want to be in on getting fresh vegetables all the way up until Christmas. You can join Tomato Mountain. It's at tomatomountain.com or you can go to my website, mikenowak.net, MikeNowak.net. And we've got a link on the homepage to the Tomato Mountain CSA. So Robin told me about this, and she said, if you stop by the booth at Green City Market, which is down in Lincoln Park, which is where we go to pick up our CSA, we have one from Growing Home, our CSA share. I'll give you a jar of the Bloody Mary mix because I mentioned it in my newsletter.
Ooh.
So she laid this on me. And what was really funny about it is the woman who gave me the mix at the CSA or at their booth yesterday said, "Don't use cheap vodka." This is really good. And in the studio, Sandy Seiberg from Purple Cow Organics. He concurred. You said this is really, really good stuff, right?
The best I've ever tasted.
Do you drink a lot of Bloody Mary mix?
The Tomato Mountain Bloody Mary mix, we do.
Yeah. Now, she told me you could drink it without the booze, and it's just as good.
It's great.
It's just like a tangy tomato juice.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. We're gonna pour some of this out. As a matter of fact, we should get a couple of little Dixie cups or whatever we got around here. No, a nice ceramic cup that we can wash and recycle.
You got it.
No little Dixie cups.
Nope.
No polystyrene.
Nope. Nothing going in the garbage can.
And we're going to taste some of that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Robin, thank you so much, and I'm glad you mentioned the fall CSA. And one more thing I have to say, and I'm going to wait till Heather is... she's answering a phone call right now. The call's pouring in. Let me say hi to Sandy Seiberg from Purple Cow Organics. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Yes. Oh, it's a contest. Which one do I get? We've got two calls here who want to be the very first...
9 a.m.ers.
9 a.m.
callers.
9 a.m. calls. So let's go to the very first call.
The very first call.
That came in on line one. Caller, who is this? Hello?
Mike, it's Trixie.
Trixie!
Hi, Trixie!
I hope I didn't ruin Ron.
You are the very first caller. Wait a second. There's another caller on line two. Who could that be?
Fred.
That sounds like Ron Cowgill.
It could be.
Ron, you got beat by Trixie. You got whooped.
I was so engrossed with your opening statements and stuff. I forgot to call, and then I heard you say somebody was calling, and I went, "Oh, yeah, that's right. I better call."
That's right. You better call. You were because I was the very first caller on their new time slot yesterday.
Yes, sir. You were.
I can't believe I got up at 7 a.m. to listen
to
the show.
You're better than I. I was passed out. I can't lie.
There I was. And I actually got work done once I was up. It was a good thing. But you probably heard me say, both of you, that you guys sounded real comfortable at your new time slot. This is, by the way, Ron Cowgill and Trixie from the Mighty House crew. Also, Joe Builder is on the show, and Robbie Earhart. How was the first day, Ron?
I believe it went okay. I showed up on time. That was good.
You know, considering
getting up at 4:30, 4:45 to get down there. So beyond that, it was fine.
Fabulous. I'm going to make a correction here. I've already insulted my guest in the studio by mispronouncing his last name, which is Seberg, not Cyberg, but it's spelled Cyberg, but it's
correct.
Pronounced Seberg. It's S-Y-B-U-R-G. So, Ron, I've already failed in my mission here.
Okay, just call him Fred.
All right. No, we got other Freds around here. Everything would be confused.
No, because if you call everybody Fred, you can't be wrong.
Or Bub, or yes. Something like that.
Right.
Well, listen, you guys, I hope you enjoy getting up early on Saturdays.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
And
We
were able to walk in the studio without crawling over you and get settled easily.
Well, that's usually because I'm passed out on the floor after drinking all this Bloody Mary mix here.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have
so
to
we don't have to step
us.
Over you anymore, so you
but,
know, this will be good.
But Trixie doesn't seem to agree with that whole idea of getting up so early.
No, she doesn't.
What can I say? It's a little tougher, you know. I liked it when you guys did it first, and then, you know, we got to sleep in.
I understand, but, you know.
We miss you. We do miss you.
We miss you, too.
It's awfully quiet, but you know what? We're still listening for you.
It's going to be real quiet here today, too, because usually about 9:30, I can't even pay attention to what I'm doing on the air because you guys are out fooling around in the hallways here. So, and
yeah.
I might actually be able to concentrate today.
Well, then your show should get better then, right?
It can only get better, yeah.
We'll definitely be listening.
All right, Trixie, Ron, thank you so much, guys. Mighty House Radio is now on Saturdays, 7 to 9 a.m., and if you missed that show, go to their podcast. I even put the link to your podcast up on my website for today's show. So,
see, that's because you're Mike Novak, and you're like Mr. Show Prep.
I am Mr. Show Prep and Mr. Social Media guy.
Yeah.
Everything has to have a link, and everything has to be connected to something else. So, all right.
And yesterday's show is posted, ready to go.
I know. I saw it. I looked up there, and there it was. So yesterday's show's up there. Go to the link, and you can hear what you missed. And next week, tune in on Saturday, 7 a.m.
You guys break a leg and have a great day.
We shall. And go Bears.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. As a matter of fact, that's what Heather wanted me to play this today.
This might be the only way I can relate to Cubs fans, because they weren't looking too good in the preseason, and I remain hopeful, but even if they stink, I'll root for them everywhere.
Yeah, they were stinky.
That was then. This is today.
But I'm not interested in that song. This is the song I'm interested in. And I hope Ron Cowgill is listening.
We already know he is.
He's the guy who plays the Ohio State fight song almost every...
Every what? Every eight minutes?
Yeah, on his show on Mighty House. Michigan 28, Notre Dame 24. I know we got a lot of domers around here. But you know what? There's a lot of Michigan fans, too. And it's been a brutal couple of years for the Maize and Blue. And I love watching pro football, but I have to tell you, in my heart, I'm a college football guy. I root for my team, you know?
I hear that.
It's just, I spent 3 hours yesterday with elevated blood pressure.
Yeah.
This is not good for me.
I know. I don't know. With hockey season coming, too, that and football together, I don't know if I'll make it through the season without seeing a cardiologist.
Well, here we are on the Mike Novak Show. Have we talked gardening?
No.
But we did talk organic Bloody Mary mix.
So we do it our new time, folks.
Sandy Seberg is in the studio, and I'm going to have to go through all those tapes now, Sandy, and edit out where I mispronounced your name. But that's the way those things go.
Happens all the time.
Does it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you present
with the
your card.
The way it is. Yep.
Yeah. It just.
I can relate. Mine looks like Frey, but it said Fry. So.
Sandy's here because we have talked many times. We show up at garden shows, and I'm usually doing a talk, and he's usually got a booth, and he's extolling the benefits of Purple Cow Organics, and we get in conversations, and a lot of them are pretty interesting. And I finally said, Sandy, you got to come on the show. You just got to come down to where do you live?
Small town, about halfway between Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Oconomowoc. All right. Yeah. Some of my sponsors have, I you know, sometimes say you can get this fine product at such and such in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Yeah. But that's a hike to come down here this morning.
It was beautiful dry. I mean, perfect time to come down.
Perfect weather.
Yeah.
Really nice. You probably ran into a little bit of the tailgating folks going. Not too much.
Not too much.
But I'll tell you, I did notice the difference between driving down at 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. It's pretty interesting. But Sandy's here. We're going to talk organics, talk about composting. You know, when you're a gardener, and I bet non-gardeners think, you're going to talk about compost? And non-gardeners, I think, don't get it. But gardeners realize that compost is everything.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff. And knowing how to compost and knowing what's good compost and knowing what you should do with it is going to make the difference in your garden every year or your farm. So Sandy's here, and we are going to talk to him in just a second. If you have questions, I bet you know a few things about composting.
A couple.
You've done a couple of things.
A couple of things.
You also know a few things about organic lawn care, which I was happy to see on your website that you are a proponent of organic lawn care. You're a friend of Paul Tukey's.
Mm-hmm.
You've got his book, The Organic Lawn Care Manual. Paul Tukey, of course, started SafeLawns.org. I'm a spokesperson for SafeLawns.org. You and I met speaking of conferences up at Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Yep.
That was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was back in February.
January, I believe.
January, February.
Yeah, I think it was January because I think it was right around my birthday. I did an organic lawn care talk up there, and Paul was up there. And so since this is the time of year when if you're interested in lawn care, if you're interested in renovating your lawn, you should be doing it right now. And I mean today. I mean this week. I mean get it done because the weather has cooled. This is a great time to plant a cool season lawn, no matter what kind you use. It's a good time to get the soil amendment, to get the seed going because by the end of the fall, it will have established roots and you're well on your way to the spring. And you might want to work on your lawn in the spring, but now is the best time, and I'm going to keep hammering that home. And if you got questions about that, we'll be happy to answer them. 773-838-WCPT. 773-838-9278. Questions about organic lawn care, questions about composting. I want to talk about your operation, Sandy, and we will do that. But first, I have to do that because we have a brand new sponsor on the Mike Novak Show. I'm very excited about this. And it's Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center. Those of us in the Chicago area just call it Lurvy's. When you're headed over there, when we garden, we give life. And Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center will help you to give to even more lives when you shop October 1st to October 10th. Now, this is a great thing they're doing as part of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Lurvy's is donating $3 from every sale of a pink hydrangea variety called Invincible Spirit. You might have heard of that. Maybe you haven't. Invincible Spirit is as hardy and adaptable as Annabelle hydrangeas. They'll bloom from early summer to frost, but instead of white flowers, which you get on the Annabelles, they produce loads of hot pink flowers. Proceeds go to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, which is dedicated to finding a cure by funding research at leading medical centers worldwide and helping to prevent breast cancer by increasing awareness about breast health. Now, the kickoff party for Pink Week at Lurvy's is Friday, October 1st, from 5 to 7 p.m., or stop in any day from October 1st to October 10th to pick up some pink. And if you wear pink, believe it or not, during that time, you can get 10% off of your purchase. Lurvy's is located at 2550 East Dempster Street in Des Plaines. For more information, visit lurvys.com. That's L-U-R-V-E-Y-S.com. Be a gardener for life by purchasing a pink Invincibel hydrangea from Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center from October 1st to October 10th, and tell your family and friends. Lurvy's is a proud sponsor of breast cancer prevention and research.
Hey gardeners, want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp.
And I'm going to interrupt this Cantini commercial to talk a little bit more about Cantini, because one of the things they did this summer, they underwent an extensive makeover to give park visitors an even more interactive experience. Now, several innovative new features in the Idea Garden, which has been around for about 20 years. You're going to like this, Heather. Appeals to families with children, including a pixie passage tunnel. Yes. A fairy garden, a larger pond with more fish and frogs, and an alphabet trail.
Get out.
The latter uses 26 letters to introduce kids to the common or botanical names of plants or other items in the garden. How do you like that?
I want to go. I want to take William. I want to go.
You're already halfway out that way.
Yes.
So, you know, you got to get out to Cantini Park and the Cantini Gardens. Check out the Idea Garden if you want. And they've got some events coming up. The next one. On September 25th, let's see, that would be
Saturday,
a week from Saturday. And they got one on the, oh, this week too, yes, okay, good. I want to make sure that, so the two things, on the 15th, Garden Tips and Tastes at 12 p.m., but on the 25th, Monarch Butterfly Tagging.
Ooh.
And you can get all the information at cantini.org, cantigny.org. Funny we talk about monarch butterfly tagging because the second half of the show today, I've got Bob Ehrlich on from Monarch Watch. He's actually a volunteer for Monarch Watch, and we're going to be talking about raising monarchs and releasing them. So that's going to be very cool. Now, the Bobex people have some words of wisdom for you. We're getting to the end of the gardening season, and a lot of your plants are looking tired and sad. So if the deer and rabbits finish them off, no big deal, right? Well, have you ever wondered why Mr. Ranger Sir tells visitors not to feed Yogi and Boo Boo? It's because they don't want bears associating people with dinner. Same with deer. If they chow down in your yard now, they'll be back in the spring, which means that it's a good idea to keep using Bobex until that foliage has turned to mush, basically. Your evergreens will thank you, too, if you use it on them, because Bobex helps them retain moisture during an early frost and throughout the frigid winter weather. Bobex is harmless to humans, pets, birds, and aquatic life. It contains no petrochemicals and is made from natural and recycled ingredients. Of course, always read and follow label directions. Bobex is available only at your local independent garden center. For instance, Effinger Garden Center in Belleville, Illinois, Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Illinois, Ralph's Greenhouse in Round Lake, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex. All right, where was I? Let's just play this one here. Heather Fry's theme song.
I think all girls like this one.
Yeah, I think
every girl
right.
likes this one. Isn't there a special girl out there today that it's her birthday?
You know, speaking of girls that just want to have fun, should we sing a little, can we do that without paying royalties?
I have no idea.
Say
it's your birthday.
It's
my birthday too, not really.
It's Kathleen Thompson's birthday, my sweetie and my webmaster.
And the glue that holds you together. Trust me, I've seen it.
Hey, it's Kathleen's birthday today, and she doesn't even know what she's getting yet.
Well, good.
I mean, it'll happen later.
Good.
So, happy birthday, Kathleen, and everybody who knows Kathleen, send her a birthday greeting on Facebook. I don't think she's on Twitter. I don't remember.
I just Facebook birthdayed her, so I'm covered. And then on the air, I think I'm covered. But it's funny now. Can you really wish someone a happy birthday if you don't tweet it? Do you know what I mean? It validates it in a new level. It's kind of scary.
That is kind of scary.
Yeah.
As I wrote in my newsletter, if you're not on Facebook, if you don't have a website, if you don't tweet, if you haven't been indicted for high crimes and misdemeanors, in the 21st century, you don't really exist.
It's odd, but at the same time, that seems very comforting for me.
Being indicted for high crimes and misdemeanors?
No, but not being disconnected sometimes. I think you open yourself up to less stress.
How did it get to be 9:29?
Because it's early in the morning or late in the morning, or we're still confused.
Well, Sandy Seberg, where is Purple Cow Organics located? And how big an operation are you?
We operate 3 compost facilities in southeastern Wisconsin, totaling in the 50 to 60,000 cubic yards of finished material range.
Per
year.
Per year. 50 to 60,000 cubic yards.
Yep.
Wow.
And they are part of the 21st century. They have a great website at www.purplecoworganics.com. And it's on your homepage, too.
Wait a second. And somebody just tweeted. Go back to that Twitter, Snarky Vegan. Actually brings up a really good point, because it's the point that I'm going to kind of throw at you. I warned you about this, Sandy. Peat moss is a good topic. I've heard core is not that great a substitute due to the shipping required. It depends what you read. Now, let me explain where I'm coming from.
Sure.
Most gardeners use peat moss, and I really wasn't going to get into this quickly, but we're here. Sure. We'll get to it. Peat moss is an indispensable part of gardening in America, pretty much. It's in all the mixes, most of the mixes, that you buy, what they call soilless mixes, that you put in your containers. It's used as a soil amendment. Here's the problem. Is it sustainable? Is the question. And I put a link on my website, mikenovak.net, that indicates it might not be sustainable because it comes from, unless you talk to the sphagnum peat industry in Canada, and they're going to tell you it's sustainable. And there are people who still refute that. So it's at least a question, all right? The problem is, what do you replace it if you don't use peat moss? What do you use in your potting mixes? Where can you readily get something? Now, there's a thing called coir, C-O-I-R, which is made from the husks of coconuts. It's coconut shells, basically, have been ground. Once you grind it up, it becomes very lightweight, easy to transport. But even then, as I tell people, last I looked, we weren't growing coconuts in Illinois. So you're shipping it in from someplace.
Sri Lanka is where most of it comes from.
Sri Lanka? Really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. So you and I have talked over the past couple of years, Sandy Seberg from Purple Cow Organics, and you said, well, you know what? There might be another alternative, and that's cow manure.
Well, and what drove us to that, to looking at an alternative for it, was that, not disputing the sustainable aspects of whether harvesting it in Canada, is environmentally responsible or sustainable, and not getting into that debate. Our problem, sustainability-wise, was we were sending trucks from southern Wisconsin 600 miles up across the Canadian border to get sphagnum peat moss to bring back for our mixes. And it doesn't take fuel to spike to $4.50 a gallon to see that's not sustainable, that there's a way to produce potentially an alternative for that more closely. So, yes, we experimented and have developed a product called Energrow that is actually that product that you saw.
What spell that?
Energro, E-N-E-R-G-R-O.
Okay, Energro.
Energro. All right. And we first utilize the cow manure in a digester that takes the biogases off of it and produces electricity, hence the Ener part of the energy
so
part.
So you're
of
not only creating a gardening product, but you're producing energy at the same time.
At the farm that we set up the pilot digester, there's 1,500 dairy cows, and they produce enough electricity not only to power that entire farm, but an additional 600 homes before we take the residual from that, the co-product from that, and convert it into a sphagnum-like alternative for potting mixes and soilless mixes.
And does it have the same consistency as peat? And does it, you know, the drainage, is it good? Is it, I mean, are there, how do the properties compare to sphagnum peat moss?
Properties compare very similar. You know, from a physical and looks standpoint, if you had, you know, one in one hand and one in the other, you wouldn't be able to tell the two apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the actual testing that we've done, you know, in growing trials, the other benefit is that we bring some nutrients to the table, which sphagnum does not.
Well, that's what I was thinking, that one of the knocks against peat is that there are no nutrients, virtually no nutrients in there.
Correct.
And there are other knocks in addition to the sustainability question, one of which is that if you apply it wrong in a garden, it's just going to make the water run off. It won't absorb it.
Well, in our soilless mixes, that's where we learned that the Energro performed actually superior to peat. I think they call that hydrophobic. In other words, if sphagnum dries out enough, the fibers actually will repel water, just like you said. Like a hanging basket, if you forget to water it for a few days in the middle of summer, everybody's done it. You pour the water on it, it actually just runs, you know, off the top instead of soaking into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
The Energro fibers are like little cut-up pieces of straw, so you know, drinking straws. So if they dry out completely, it's very easy for it to be to reabsorb water again.
So why are we not all purchasing Energro right now? I mean, what stops you, if anything, from making this available at least throughout the Midwest, so people have an alternative to peat moss?
We're working really hard with that, you know, and that's why we've been at some of the shows that you and I have seen each other is getting the word out and furthering our distribution. We just picked up a new distributor in Illinois, so you'll be seeing not only the Purple Cow organics products, but the Energro products, you know, on independent garden centers and store shelves, you know, in the spring.
What about the Chicago area? How are you doing in Chicago area?
Chicago area right now, we're gaining some ground. You know, we have...
Do you know some places you can get Purple Cow here?
Alternative Gardening has 5 or 6 locations around the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to our website, we've got an available at location that would be able to be, you can update that on a regular basis. So
yeah, well, I can even
find a retail location. You click right on there. Alternative Garden Supply in Cary, Illinois, America's Best Flowers Garden Center in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. Brew and Grow in Chicago, Roselle, Rockford, Bolingbrook, Brookfield, and Madison.
Wow, and
Brookfield, Wisconsin, I might add.
Let's see, the Pure Gardener in Geneva, Illinois. I'm just looking at the
Garden Vision Nursery in Plainfield.
So you need to hit more of the. Now, are you interested just in independent garden centers?
For the time being, we've been working with independent garden centers just because our product fits that niche and is a product that independent garden centers, in our opinion, have the ability to interact with gardeners, on a one-to-one basis.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of independent garden centers. I have said for years that do you really save money when you shop at the Home Depot when you buy plants? And my feeling is no, you really don't. Because A, they're not all that much cheaper. B, they probably haven't been taken care of. C, you get no knowledge behind it when you buy them. So ultimately, do you save money? Don't think so. I think it's a wash.
Yeah, and independent garden centers oftentimes are vertically integrated with their own production. You know, so they're actually producing a large portion of the plants that they're selling, where the big boxes, you know, they can be traveling several states away. You know, so you're buying not, you know, a plant that's grown more locally for the environment and a healthier plant.
That's Sandy Seberg from Purple Cow Organics. Hang on here, Sandy. Before the end of the hour, I want to talk a little bit more about your operation, because you are going to be, what is it they call you? Are you the official composter for Farm Aid?
We'll be taking the compostable serviceware. You know, they make cups, plates, and knives and things nowadays out of corn sugar, you know, which is compostable along with the food residuals.
And potatoes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, are you familiar with the composting techniques for those kinds of things?
Oh, sure.
All right.
We do quite a bit of it.
All right. Well, then I want to talk to you about that because lots of folks, in fact, let's get Rick DeMaio on the phone because it's time for DeMaio weather. If he hasn't already gone away or left home or forgotten that maybe, you know, if he didn't get a call at 8:30, he thought, we don't love him anymore. Well, I warned him it was going to be 9:30, whatever. We should just make it officially 9:45. I think so, because we never get to them on time. DeMaio weather coming up in a second, but, you know, I've been very interested in this composting question with flatware. It's not just a matter of throwing it on top of the compost pile, because that's not going to break down, is it?
No, I mean, most of the manufacturers recommend that it goes to a commercial composting facility or in a home composting environment. It's subjected to high temperatures.
So we'll talk about that, too, and some of the other products with Sandy Seberg of Purple Cow Organics. Now, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Mulching is one of the best things you can do for your trees. It's easy, inexpensive, and doesn't require special tools. Mulch suppresses weeds and keeps equipment like lawnmowers and string trimmers away from the tree and thus reduces trunk damage and injuries that can be an opening for disease and insect damaging. Mulching also moderates the soil temperature and conserves moisture in the soil to help trees through dry spells and increases the amount of organic material and activity around the roots that feed the tree. In a word, mulch is God. Don't mess with God. At least in terms of your tree. And don't make the mulch any thicker than about 3 inches. Really, you don't need to pile it 6 and 8 inches tall. That's a little nutty. And do not allow it to touch the tree trunk, period. And invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See the Care, and they'll tell you how to mulch, too. They'll come out and they'll show you what good mulching is. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Now, the more I talk about EcoLawn, and I mentioned earlier in the show that this is the time of year when you should be putting a new lawn in, get the seed in right now. And the more I talk about EcoLawn, the more people ask me questions about it. And when they hear me talk about the environmental qualities of EcoLawn, they're really interested. Now, here's the scoop. EcoLawn doesn't need to be fertilized after it's established. And once it's established, will rarely need water. It's a blend of 7 fine fescues that grow slowly. So you don't have to mow often or ever if you choose. Its roots go much deeper than conventional lawns, which gives it the ability to withstand drought. You can find EcoLawn at Lake Street Landscape Supply in Chicago. I had a woman, I think just the other week, said, where can I get in Chicago? Where's that place? Well, Lake Street Landscape Supply is at 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago. Or you can go to EcoLawn.com, ECO-LAWN.com. Mercy, mercy me. Let's bring in our meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fine. Is mercy, mercy a Sunday morning phrase, Mike, that you stay away from?
Yeah. What was that?
I said, unless you need a Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Hey, you got to try some of this mix here, Rick. I don't know if you heard us talking earlier. I've got right back here, I got my Tomato Mountain Organic Bloody Mary Mix. We haven't even opened it yet.
Wow. And I could have used it at a party I was at last night. That sounds kind of good.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what, Heather, go get us a couple of cups.
Coming right up.
All right.
What, am I supposed to taste this virtually?
Well, no. We will taste it. And
by the sound of the I'll know whether I like it or not.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, but Heather doesn't want to leave because she's Facebooking with her friends who are listening via internet from New York City.
Yes. And I just typoed, but oh well, because I'm going to go get the cups now.
So, Rick.
Mike, I have to admit it. I'm now an FBer.
You're what?
I'm now an FB-er.
Are you really?
Yeah, I had to because I have my 30th high school reunion coming up next year, and someone said the only way to get the information is to go on Facebook, and now all I do every day is confirm or ignore or whatever, and my God, do people have anything else to do with their lives?
No. No, that's Sandy, are you on Facebook?
We have a Purple Cow page on Facebook.
But do you do it yourself, or do you have somebody? You have people to do that for
no,
you?
No, do it myself.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Even the website that we have done, we've done ourselves.
What do you think about Facebook?
I think it's something new for us. It's a new experience, it seems to be working well.
It's funny, Rick. You get dragged into it. The people who've been doing it for years say, "What do you mean? Why are you asking whether this is good or not?"
I know. So many of those people say, "Wow, you've gotten into the 21st century, Rick." But they don't realize that I have like 8 other email accounts and tremendous amount of work that. The last thing is to be spending time doing Facebook, but I can totally see the benefit of it.
Yeah, especially if you got a 30th reunion coming up. There you go.
It's kind of scary looking at some of those pictures of people. You go, yikes, what happened?
Hey, Rick, I got to do is tell you that you've got hair, all right? So you're going to see a lot of pictures of your friends who don't have hair anymore. So
that's true. Yeah, I guess it's true.
We've had some really great weather. I mean, this I have always said best weather in Chicago is in September.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, the only rain we had this week came yesterday when I was at my son's cross-country meet up in Forest Preserve up in Lake County. I don't know if you've been there, Mike. It's right off of 176 and Fairfield Road. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. There's also a nature preserve there. I think it's called the Lake County. I forget exactly the name of it, but it's in Wakanda and on 176. And they really have a beautiful nature museum there, a lot of interesting things about what goes on in northern Illinois. But this track and field meet, or I should say cross-country meet, invited nearly 50 high schools from across northeast Illinois. So there were probably about 5,000 people there. And it goes from about 8 till about 1. And the poor kids, there's probably about 6 different groups that run. And I have never seen so many kids with mud from their tippy toes up to about their waist. It was terrible.
Well, you know, it's funny because...
I felt bad for them.
Of course you did. Because then when the meet was over, the sun came out, right? Or pretty
exactly,
close to it.
Exactly, yeah. The sun came out when they were handing out the awards. And these kids are... They kind of take it in stride, so to say. And I felt bad because the later and later that kids ran, the more mud was on the track, but the course, because it's basically up and down, little hills and valleys and around a couple of small ponds and streams. And it's just there's something about seeing kids still getting hooked up with their iPods, their iPods and their iPhones and. Who knows, they were probably Twittering and Facebooking at the same time, and they're just covered with mud, and it was just kind of fun to see all that.
It's the old and the new together, get mud on your iPhone.
It was kind of, and of course you hear all these, like, silly jokes, like knock, knock, go on, Mike.
Who's there?
Who's talking to me now? Is that Heather?
That's me.
Okay, you can't tell the difference between our voices. Okay, try it again.
I'm around kids a lot. It's a like a Pavlovian response.
Oh yeah, there you go. Okay, ready?
Okay,
yeah.
Wait, coming down in three. Ready, knock, knock. Wait. We'll do this right. We'll make it nice and clean. Coming down in 3, 2, 1.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Heather.
Heather who?
You don't know who your name is?
Oh.
Yeah, there was one. And then why did the chicken not cross the road?
I don't know. Why did the chicken not cross the road?
Because he's chicken. I know. These are like the silliest things in the world.
I'm going to tell that to my 3-year-old, though, and he'll laugh hysterically.
Well, last week we had the guys on from Roosevelt University talking about sustainable studies. And they talk, and I don't know if you heard that part of that conversation. They were talking about the river being so polluted back in the early part of last century, the chickens could walk across the river. And then that joke was, why did the chicken walk across the river?
Yeah.
Across the river, I don't know.
Because he could, I guess.
Right, exactly.
But
All right.
Go on. I missed something there.
Oh, I was just going to say, in terms of the weather.
Oh, God, it's been beautiful.
It's been gorgeous, but the only bad time we had was yesterday when the farmer's markets were open on Sunday morning.
Saturday morning, right.
And I went out to Green City Market in Lincoln Park, and it was a ghost town. It's just because it was raining. And then 1 o'clock, the sun came out, and those poor farmers out there, they had to be thinking, oh, this timing really stinks. But
and the farmers actually are, I got some news from some farmers down in Northern Will, and well, at least Eastern Will and Northern and Southern Cook County, and a lot of them saying that they have to start harvesting early, Mike, because in those parts of the area where they had, you know, a lot more heat than we had up north and a lot less rain, because they had such an abundant corn crop, they're actually harvesting ahead of schedule. So they don't want to leave the corn on the stalk because it's beginning to, you know, beginning to be of poorer quality.
Well, you work with farmers too, Sandy, don't you? Are you hearing things like this?
Yeah, most of the organic vegetable farmers that we're dealing with are, you know, have been running 3 to 4 weeks ahead of schedule almost all season.
Yeah, yeah, and on top of that, you know, it's obviously that they're trying to rush it to market, and obviously when you have a, you know, a little farmer's market going on, and people need to get rid of their products, you feel bad that they're not able to do it. But yet on a day like today, it's absolutely gorgeous. So, as we all know, Mike, in agriculture and weather, it's all timing. And we had, you know, talk about when you really look in retrospect, this summer was such an incredible summer. And, of course, it's so much better compared to last year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the data coming in, the fourth warmest summer ever on record for the lower 48. That's from June 1st to the end of August. Temperatures were nearly 2.2 degrees above normal. Precipitation-wise, we were fairly dry in the month of August, but fairly wet through June and July. And what I think is interesting more than anything is even though we were the fourth warmest, which is way, way up there, we had record demand for electricity across the southeast, the southern plains, and parts of the mid-Atlantic, not so much the northeast, but really from about, say, Philadelphia on southward, where D.C. had several days above 100 degrees.
Yeah.
So
we were actually dodged some of that, even though it was very, very warm here. It was warmer than people thought it was, and yet we still didn't have the record-breaking heat and the intensity of other areas of the country.
Right. But what studies have shown is that it's not so much the temperatures that make people use air conditioning a lot. It's the humidity.
Yeah.
We had really, really high levels.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you one other thing. In our case, in my household, it's the mold. Kathleen has a hard time breathing when the pollen's up, when the mold, especially the mold count.
Right.
And that just saves her. I mean, she can sit in the house and get her work done, and otherwise she can't even breathe.
Right.
So that's very difficult for some people.
Yeah, very, very high mold counts this year. The spider count, I think, was a near record as well, though no one keeps track of that. I think I do.
In my backyard, I keep running into spider webs as I walk through the backyard because everything's overgrown, and they attach themselves to everything, and then you walk through it and you get a face full of spider web. You just go, ah!
Yeah. You know, it's amazing because, I mean, people will, like, walk up within to, like, 15 feet of a brown grizzly bear trying to take a picture of it. But, my God, if a spider lands on them, it's the end of the world.
That is it. All right, well, listen. Yeah. Listen to this sound. Here we go. I just opened up the Bloody Mary mix. Give us a forecast and
away we go.
And away we go.
Okay, Mr.
Ooh,
Red
North. It smells
there.
Good.
Mostly sunny, much, much nicer today. Even after the rain yesterday, we managed to hit a high of 77 degrees. Today we'll probably top out close to 80 in some locations, particularly south of us. But the weather couldn't get any better for tailgating at Soldier Field or for obviously playing football. So hopefully the Bears won't ruin everybody's afternoon by blowing it against the Lions.
Oh, we can't lose to the Lions.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can't. Well,
yes, we can. They're Detroit.
That's right. So, and sunny and warmer still for Monday. Tomorrow, probably up to about 81 or 82. Continued warmth for Tuesday, probably in only upper 70s. And then probably some rain comes back at us maybe late Wednesday into Thursday. And then it looks like we get into a rather cool pattern. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week, really large area of cold air develops over western sections of Canada and tries to nudge its way southward. But again, we'll see how Hurricane Igor, or Igor, however you want to pronounce it, which is way out over the Atlantic.
Martha.
Yeah.
Martha. I want to attack the East Coast.
Wasn't the hump on your left shoulder last time I saw you?
What hump?
Yeah, one of my favorite movies, Get the Bag, and he picks up the two women, you know. No, the other one. But we could obviously go on this.
Yes.
But it does look like fairly wet weather comes at us, Mike, probably Thursday and Friday. But for any farmers that need to do some harvesting over the next 3 to 4 days, this is great, great stuff for us. So temperatures so far for the first 11 days of the month, averaging about a degree below normal precipitation. With some of the rain we've had, just slightly below normal. We had that one day where we had some good precipitation. But so far, I still think heading into the fall season, we'll start talking about the fall foliage next week and in the weekend after. This may go down as a really, really good season for fall foliage, only because we had such a wet early start to the summer that a lot of the trees have a lot of good moisture supply, Mike. So,
all righty. It sounds like a great forecast.
Yeah. And you'll see me tonight on Channel 2. How about that?
I never know. Now I'm afraid to ask, Rick.
Yeah,
it's like,
I don't either sometimes. They called me up. They said, can you do the deuce tonight? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem.
Can you be on TV? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Just make sure the check doesn't bounce. Okay.
All right.
All right. The Rick DeMaio weather, you can go to DeMaioWeather.com. You can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and click on to his avatar. Actually, it's a photo. And get to his website. Always a pleasure. Welcome to the new time slot, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay. And again, we'll talk about fall foliage next Sunday, Mike.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Shorter days and cooler nights can mean only one thing. Yes, fall is on its way, as Rick DeMaio just said. So it's time to turn your attention to the outdoors and take advantage of the kaleidoscope of fall colors. A new shipment of fun and fabulous fall annuals has just arrived at SIDS from Proven Winners. Fall magic varieties are bred to perform throughout the fall season and until the snow flies. So visit SIDS soon to see what's new in the way of fall plants. SIDS also has other fall favorites like ornamental grasses, hydrangeas, and variegated dogwoods, plus tried and true favorites for fall pansies, garden mums, ornamental cabbage, and fall kale. The Garden Center is getting ready for the fall and Halloween season as well. Oh, we've got to deal with Halloween. I know you love it, but
I do. I'm so excited. I've already started brainstorming.
Halloween season is just like, it seems like it's 6 months long. All right. Anyway, but they've got home decor specialty items, including ever popular scarecrows in all sizes, spooky skeletons, and so much more. You'll just have to see it to believe it. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit SIDSonline.com. And remember, when you're done planting, bring your plastic pots and cell packs to SIDS for recycling.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
If that doesn't wake you up, nothing will. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. What'd you say?
Don't want a nation under the new media.
Okay. We're in studio with Sandy Seberg from Purple Cow Organics. We started talking a little bit about composting. That's something you do professionally. I mean, it's people do it in their backyards. But we talked about you're going to be composting and handling the waste for the organic waste for Farm Aid, which, by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
Where's that going to be?
It's going to be at Miller Park in Milwaukee on October 2nd.
And that's the same day the big march Ed Schultz is having in Washington. But Farm Aid's a great cause. I'm glad. How'd you get involved with that?
We actually contacted them. And then their organization that handles that, we also did some composting for the Rothbury Festival over in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a match, you know. And they're going to begin to focus more of their attention on, you know, getting to as close to a zero waste, you know, or a net zero waste event as possible.
So what kind of items will you be handling from that? Obviously, we talked about forks, the compostable forks, plates, and paper plates, or things like that. What else?
the pre-consumer food residuals, the, mm-hmm. there's going to be, you know, a considerable amount of locally grown, organic, and all the food service vendors, their pre-consumer waste as they're, you know, preparing their foods, those that are, you know, the tops of the carrots or the peelings and those sorts of things will go into special containers and go to our compost facilities to be converted into compost.
That's excellent. And let's talk about, you've got a couple of minutes here, about your composting products. What kinds of stuff are you proud of?
We've been producing the Father Dom's products for a number of years.
Father Dom's duck dew.
Father Dom's duck dew, yeah. It actually no longer has duck dew in it, so it's actually now just Father Dom's original do-good compost. The duck farms unfortunately closed in Wisconsin, and that feedstock was no longer available. But it does contain composted rice hulls and some cranberry press cake. We compost all the squeezings from Ocean Spray's cranberries in the state of Wisconsin. And that's a great,
it's good to have a resource like that, isn't it?
It's a great product. And the profits from that product still are helping his charitable organizations, one of which was probably the biggest one, which is the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp that he's been involved with for many, many years.
I had him on my program like back when I was at Gargantua Radio down the dial years ago to talk about. So I'm glad to hear Father Dom's product.
Still going strong,
and you're still donating to charity from that. And you can find that information on the Purple Cow website, I would imagine.
Yeah, or it'll link back to the White Oak Farm, White Oak Farm Organics. Uh-huh.
And quickly, how's White Oak Farm connected? Is it a connected organization, or is it an umbrella organization or something?
It would be an umbrella organization. I mean, that's where we started almost 20 years ago.
All right. That's great. Sandy Seberg, thank you so much. Purple Cow Organics. Go to my website, mikenovak.net. The link is right there. And it's purplecoworganics.com. And we'll talk again.
By the way,
we're testing the
Bloody Mary
mix. It's spicy. We'll be back.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by Ecolon, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I'm just glad I'm not on Lakeshore now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All those tailgaters.
The tailgater line.
Okay, if anybody's on their way to a tailgate and they're not listening to the analysis of the game and the, you know, over and over and over for hours and hours and hours. And are actually listening to us, give us a call, 773-838-9278, because, you know, you can ride down to the game and listen to the Mike Novak Show on your way down, and then, you know.
No, we're going green. That's what the EPA is challenging now, isn't it? Greener football games?
I hope so.
Yep.
I know that colleges, you and I are looking into this story about how colleges are trying to get their stadia, and that would be the plural of stadium, their stadia to recycle properly. And I hope we do something on that soon in the next few weeks. But if you're heading down a tailgate and you want to call, I'll just give you something. I'll call you if you're on Lakeshore Drive. You got to be on Lakeshore Drive. 773-838-9278. And by the way, if you tuned in and you thought Mighty House was going to be here, they have now moved.
Yep.
They are on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., 7 to 9. This is our first day at the new time slot, 9 to 11. Heather Fry and I are here. Mike Sanders with Our Town is at 8 a.m. now. And after us, Meet the Press. After that, I've got the list here on my website, mikenovak.net. After Meet the Press with David Gregory at noon, Both Sides Now with Ariana Huffington and Mary Madeline. And then at 1 p.m., Alan Combs Weekend with Sean Hannity. No, Alan Combs, actually. So that's the new revised Sunday lineup. We're here sipping Bloody Mary mix. Oh, wait a second. Do I get to play this? I'm just going to play this one more time.
This really gets this gusto going, folks. You can see it. It puts the wind in Mr. Novak's sails. Did you go there? Did you go to school there?
Yes.
You did?
Yes, in A Squared, Michigan. Yes.
A Squared. Oh, Ann Arbor. I got you.
Oh, come on.
I'm not a Michiganer. I don't know your... I don't know your... I do know what a Michigan left is.
A Michigan what?
Left.
Oh.
On some of the roads where you've got, like, those funky... Like, you turn almost three times to make a left.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know why they do that in
I don't know
Detroit.
Why they do that. Well, I think it was because that's where roads were born, because that's where the American auto industry was born. And in those early days, they didn't quite have the axles on them that we have today.
It might be.
I kind of think that's it.
But you get used to that growing up in the Detroit area. And you got to go, there's, yeah, a lot of no left turns, and you go past the road, then you come back, and then you make a right turn.
Yeah. Yeah. They call it my friends from Michigan taught me that it was called a Michigan left.
I don't know. I don't know what it's called because I grew up
call
with
it. Nuts.
Yeah, it is. Well, it is that too.
Poorly designed.
And we're sipping our Bloody Mary mix here and our observations on it. Oh, I should tell you that.
It's good if you have allergies because it'll clean you out.
If you just tuned in, I got some Tomato Mountain Organic Bloody Mary mix courtesy of Tomato Mountain. And they have a CSA, which is Community Supported Agriculture. I stopped by their booth at the Green City Market yesterday, and they laid this on me. And we are of the opinion, Heather and I together, that it's very tasty and quite spicy. We're thinking a stalk of celery. What did you want in there, Heather? You wanted pickle?
I wanted a slice of dill pickle and pickled okra.
Are you nuts?
No, used to bartend. I bartended way through college, and one of my drink expert, my Sunday morning expertise was the Bloody Mary.
And also some vodka.
That usually helps.
That would really help.
So that's the part of that's the hair of the dog that bit you, as they say.
But it's tasty, but we... We miss the vodka. But, you know, it's radio. The FCC would have something to say about this.
Yeah, no. No. We
have just have the mix, honest to God.
Swear to God. We drive the radio vessel straight and clean.
A couple of things, Bob. Is it Ehrlich or Ehrlich? How do you like it pronounced, Bob?
Ehrlich.
Okay. Bob Ehrlich's in the studio because I got my first guest's name wrong. So let's go for broke here.
You're too rested today.
What?
You've got too much rest today. You don't know what to do with yourself yet.
Really. Bob just brought us an amazing gift. Why don't you grab that? Hey, you've got it up. Don't leave it up there on the file cabinet.
I don't want to hurt it.
It's a chrysalis with a monarch butterfly inside.
You can see the wings through the chrysalis, and you can see even like it almost. If I had to, it looks like gold leaf. Do you see that coming out the sides there?
Yeah.
Little specks
and
of gold.
And Bob says he's not sure whether this will emerge before the show is over at 11 a.m. today. Now, is that a possibility, Bob?
Certainly is.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the coolest thing ever. Look at
and,
that.
And let's say it did emerge. What would we do?
It would just hang on that little string that it's attached to, and it would hang on the spent chrysalis for about 4 hours.
Okay.
While its wings dries.
All right.
And then after that, it's ready to go. It starts flapping its wings, and it says, let me out of here, and it'll just take off by itself.
So would, as it begins to emerge, do you take it outside, or
no.
you just leave it in? Or
yeah.
So how, you, but you want to get it outside at some point before it starts flapping around in the house?
Yes.
So what's the timing on that? That's something you probably never read about in these things.
No, well, most monarchs are born in the morning between 7 and 11. But this year, because it's getting colder now in the fall, they could come out at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. So all from May, June, and July, they all came out in the morning. They all go into their chrysalis in the morning. They all form their J at the same time, and then usually they have a time schedule. But once it gets cooler at night, it takes a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I brought that one. I have several more that are going to hatch today, but that one was the closest to being ready.
And you can tell it's about to hatch.
It's so cool.
Because what color is the chrysalis when it first forms?
Green.
Green. So now it's got purples in there. It's gotten darker. And
It's actually translucent. The monarch comes out, you will see that the chrysalis is now opaque. And what you're seeing right now is you're seeing the image of the monarch through the chrysalis.
And
you can see there's a spent chrysalis right next to it. That's what it will look like once it comes out.
Yeah, I saw the spent chrysalis.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And Heather is trying to take pictures
on my crappy camera phone, but I'm trying anyway.
And I don't know if I brought my camera.
I didn't. Now I'm angry because I saw it when I left the house. I'm like, do I need that today? Nah.
I'm going to have to look at my car when the show's over and see if we can get a photo of this. That's Bob Ehrlich. And he was on the show last year via phone to talk about Monarch Watch and all the people out there who raise monarchs, find eggs, find larvae out in the wild on milkweed. What kind of milkweed is the one that this one's on here?
That's on a red milkweed plant.
Okay. And I can see because the milkweed pods are there.
Very slim.
Yeah. And they're trying to send out their seeds as
yes.
well, I noticed. So we'll probably get milkweed growing here in the studio in a couple of weeks.
I brought some seeds for you, too. I brought some extra packets.
Of different kinds of milkweed?
All the red milkweed. I find that's the one I like the best.
Really?
Oh, by far.
Oh, and there's a seed floating
there's
right.
There's a seed floating right.
Right above my head. All right. Get out of here.
Yeah, I did an experiment this year, and in my driveway, I dug out all the old pots that I've had from trees and from bushes and shrubs that I've saved over the years, and I had my whole driveway full of milkweed plants, both common milkweed, swamp milkweed, and the red milkweed.
Uh-huh.
And 80% of the eggs I collected were on the red milkweed. No
really?
Doubt about it. The monarchs would rather lay their eggs on a 6-inch tall red milkweed plant coming out of a crack in my sidewalk than on a 6-foot tall common milkweed plant.
That's so interesting.
It's very neat, and I kind of knew it would come out that
way. All right,
way.
Let me ask you a question about that. You've got these seeds here. How long is it going to take before those plants flower? Because they are perennials.
No, they're annuals.
Oh, that's an annual.
That's the annual. So it grows fast, and you get flowers by late June, early July, and they stay flowered all the way through till now. All my red milkweed plants still have flowers on them. And all the butterflies feed off of the same flower. They get nectar. So I have swallowtails, and I have other butterflies that come and eat the flowers from all of the milkweed plants.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take those packets. Would you advise a chilling over the winter before I plant them?
Yeah, you could actually clear a little space in your yard right now, put some in an area where you know this is what's going to come up here, and they'll come up in the spring.
I like that idea.
I have probably 100 plants that have just come up from seeds that have scattered since June and July. I have plants everywhere. And I collected 11 eggs on Friday. Most of the monarchs are done laying eggs because that generation is dying off. But I collected 11 eggs on red milkweed plants that were no more than 3 inches tall. And I don't know how the mama butterfly thinks her little caterpillar is going to survive on a 3-inch plant. But I found them all, and I potted them, and I brought them in my basement. And they'll hatch in my basement under some grow lights, and they will turn into caterpillars, and then I'll put them on another plant.
They don't mind being moved to another plant? As long as it's a milkweed.
As long as it's a milkweed
plant.
That's
the thing about monarch butterflies. That's the only thing.
It's the only thing that they'll eat.
But you have to understand, as Bob pointed out, there are different kinds of milkweed. There's the common milkweed, which is you see on roadsides and see in fields with the very fragrant
yes.
flowers, which are kind of pinkish. There's swamp milkweed.
I have that also.
There's butterfly weed, which is orange. There's the annual that you're telling about, which is red.
It's called silky red milkweed.
And what other kinds are there?
That's the main three that I've seen in this area. There are 26 varieties. There's tropical varieties that are mainly grown down south. But these are the three that are, even you can find the swamp milkweed in the wild here in the Chicago area.
That's Bob Ehrlich. He is a butterfly enthusiast, a monarch enthusiast. You, do you, when you, Do you join Monarch Watch? Do you have like a card or anything, or is it just sort of an a loose organization?
It's a loose organization. The gentleman had the idea out of Kansas University to enlist the aid of people like me, a backyard gardener, to help the monarch butterflies on their arrival from Mexico in the spring as they go through our area, and when they're migrating in the fall, going back through our area.
Mm-hmm.
So they need these. You have to have milkweed plants for the monarch population to survive. And so I created a monarch way station in my backyard.
I love the idea of the monarch way station.
Yes. It's neat. And I have a little metal sign back there, and I'm proud of it. And I helped three other people build them in our area this year. So I created three new monarch way stations at a library, at a church, and at the Ronald McDonald House by Christ Hospital in Oak Lawn. So I created three of them, and all three of them produced eggs and caterpillars for me this year.
So do you, if you're by a way station, do you just happen to see a lot of monarchs coming by? But you see swallowtails and other butterflies as well.
You see all kinds of butterflies. You put milkweed in your backyard, you'll have all kinds of butterflies.
That's the tip, folks. You want a butterfly garden? Get yourself some milkweed. Let's go to line one and bring in Valerie from Montgomery. Montgomery where, Valerie?
Oh, Illinois.
Okay, not Alabama.
No.
Great. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I just tuned in I heard something about the monarch, and so I was excited to call in because I've been doing this for, 30-some years.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. And I actually have a DVD that I made of them going into chrysalis, coming out of chrysalis. I wanted to ask the guest you have a question.
And that's Bob Ehrlich.
Okay.
Bob, meet Valerie.
Hi, Val.
I've noticed that just before the worm is going to go into chrysalis, after he's hung in his J form, that the antenna almost shrink into little sausage links.
Yeah, they
on the
droop.
Worm. And that tells me, any moment now, I can watch it happen, go split open, and, his skin splits back at the head, and then he starts doing the shrinking up and
Heather's,
twisting. And
Valerie, my producer, Heather's mouth is just wide open right now. This is all new to her.
Yeah.
And I've never really done it myself, but I know a little bit more about this. But let's explain that, either Valerie or Bob, about skin splitting on a caterpillar. You said the J. Let's explain that, too. Let's take people through this. Who wants to start here?
Well, I'll start. After they've eaten for about 10 days to 2 weeks, they know it's time to form their chrysalis, and they go to the top of the enclosure, whatever you're supplying them with. I happen to use aquariums, and I have three of them. And they go to the top of this aquarium, and they start spinning silk, and they're attaching themselves. And then within the next 12, 14 hours, they hang in a J.
Hind legs, or whatever you call the last set of legs on their end of their body.
Yeah, and they, they hang there for a while, and in the morning, as Valerie said, you see the bat right at the base of their neck, their skin splits, and all of a sudden, their body is enclosed in green. And it only takes usually a couple of minutes, right, Val?
Right.
You got to understand this. Heather just called up a video of this online. I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm going to put the link to the video on your Facebook.
Okay, do that. And put the link to the video on Twitter as well. This is amazing.
Whoa.
If you've never seen this.
That's unbelievable. It's like they literally just like bust out
yes.
of their own body.
Right.
Yeah, and I work at a veterinary hospital, and a lady and I both do this there. We have them like at the front desk, and then there's been clients that have witnessed either them going into chrysalis or coming out of the chrysalis, and they're just like totally amazing.
Everybody, yeah, I just put an aquarium with 20 chrysalises in our local library,
yep.
And every time I go in there, there's kids looking at it, and I talk to the lady that's been watching them, and she says it's not just the kids, it's the staff loves them. They love watching them go into the chrysalis, and they're going to start having butterflies born there. I think I've got 23 there so far, and they'll have 23 butterflies to release from the library.
I'll tell you what we'll do here. Now, let me ask you something, Valerie. You said you had DVDs of this. Do you make them available online or anything?
I don't know how to do that. I'm not that type of person that knows how to run the computer like that, but I have two copies, so I've loaned them to people to watch, and it shows the whole thing from, the beginning to the, when they go in chrysalis, come out of chrysalis.
You know what? I know how to do that.
Yeah.
Here's what, we're going to put the YouTube video that Heather just found, and I'll tell you what, Kathleen, if you're listening, get it off my Facebook page, and put it on the website. But Valerie, if you want to send me a copy of the DVD, I'll post yours on YouTube and put it on my website so that you can tell your friends just to go online to look at this.
Oh, wow.
And how long does it run?
You know, that I'm not sure because I'd have to time it sometime watching it.
Because the one we saw just now on YouTube, it's time-lapsed, isn't it, Heather?
Yes, 10 times speed.
10 times. And so the whole thing happens in about a minute and 15 seconds on the YouTube, which is really amazing.
Yeah.
To see that the whole thing from the J to the chrysalis emerging.
How many do you raise every year, Valerie?
Well, I kind of stopped last year, and this year I noticed there wasn't as many, and I kind of felt bad.
You're letting
yes,
them
you
down.
Yes, Valerie. You do. You do feel bad. You do feel. I know what you mean.
I had a few that weren't successful, and I don't know why at all.
Well, this is a tough year
In fact, we're going to get into that a little bit, Valerie, because Bob did tell me that this was a tough year, and I want to explain to people why and really how that ties in to problems you might have had with your plants in your garden this year. It's all sort of related.
Can I ask you guys one time? This was years ago. A worm died. So there was something weird going on with him. We cut him open after he died. And there was like a little larva in there.
A little pupa?
And it turned into a fly.
Yes, that was a tachinid fly. And that's a fly that attacks the... It actually lands on the caterpillars in the fields, lays a little larva on it. The little maggot emerges, goes inside the caterpillar and eats it from the inside out.
Uh-huh. We were nuts when a little fly hatched out.
Yep, and a little fly. It was a little red 5-millimeter pupa.
That's actually very common in nature with not just flies, but with parasitic wasps. That attack. And a lot of parasitic wasps attack bad insects, the predatory insects, and so you sometimes want to have those guys around because they're helpful. But it's just nature. It's just nature's way. There's a lot of that kind of thing where eggs get laid on and in other insects, and that's what kills them and feeds the generation of the insect laying the egg, you know?
Well, also, I always put at the top of each one after it goes into chrysalis the date, and I know exactly on the 10th day going to turn crystal clear like you guys have there, and it's going to come out. And then I also mark a male or female on the top of that little tape because I look for the scent gland on the male. You can see that when you see a butterfly outside too. If their wings are open, you can tell if it's a boy or a girl.
All right. Now people are going to be amazed that you can actually do that.
Yeah.
But I suppose once you learn, it's pretty easy to spot. Well, you know, I'll tell you, there's if you've got grubs, one of the things you learn about grubs, you can identify grubs in your soil by their butt hairs, basically. Okay? All right. I hate to put it that way, but that's basically it. I mean, that's how people identify. They'll take a grub and look. Yeah, I know.
So who has them, the boy or the girl?
It's usually different species, so it's very interesting. Valerie.
I have one more question if I can ask it, too.
Yeah, I can tell she's fascinated. She's just so caught up in this. And
she's asking questions that a lot of people would ask, too. So.
Yeah, and you've already done this. And Peggy from Chicago, hang on. I know she's got milkweed questions. No, that's all right, because we want to get to everybody who calls in. 773-838-9278, talking about monarchs. And Valerie, what's your last question?
Well, on all my milkweed plants, it's driving me nuts. Those little, I know you get the milkweed bug, which looks like kind of like a box elder bug, but is his eggs that are those little orange things all up and down the stem that are just covering the milkweed plant? And I almost think it's deterring the monarch worm.
That's oleander aphids.
Oh, that's
an aphid. Yes, and if I actually have seen them destroy three gardens this year. Totally destroy three gardens.
Well, they're on the milkweed only, and they're just those little orange things all up and down the stem. And
yes, I
saw
that.
I wipe them off and I smear them off.
You smear them, you blast them, but you see what happens with, and I just found this out recently, the female aphid that's born is born pregnant.
Yeah, I've known that for several years, that aphids can be born pregnant.
Born pregnant.
That's
so,
nice.
I mean, there was somebody posted on Facebook, well, I'm blasting them off the plant, but they climb back up. Well, they're not climbing back up. They're just reproducing faster than you can blast them.
But they don't make the monarch worm.
It's really, I've rescued so many caterpillars and eggs from plants infested with that bug this year. And I have them in my own garden, but I control them because every day I'm looking at them and I blast a few that are there. But out in the wild, they ruin milkweed plants everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've seen that. I went to a friend's actually farm in northern Indiana, just south of the state line in Michigan, and he was showing me some of his milkweed plants. And as you said, the stems were covered. Stem to stern with aphids, these orange aphids just lined up on there. And, you know, as you say, they can be destructive in those kinds of numbers.
Okay.
All right. Listen, Valerie, great questions. Uh-huh. I'm so glad you do this. Are you you're obviously a gardener. Do you have a... Can I send you something? Like a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine?
That'd be great, yeah.
All right, so we're going to do that. I'm going to put you on hold, and you talk to Heather again, and we'll get you a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine.
And I'll figure out the DVD, how to get it to you.
Yes, send it to me. Heather can also...
That information.
Yeah, Heather can get you a mailing address, and we'll take a look at it.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Uh-huh.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Peggy's on the line. Peggy, we're going to get to you in a second. I'm behind here. I got to get some business out of the way. So hang on just a second, and we will do that. But first, I want to tell you about something that you've probably been aware of, and that's Urban Wildlife has a new place to call home. With the opening of the Nature Boardwalk at Lincoln Park, the 14-acre habitat at the zoo's South Pond is designated to be a slice of prairie in the big city. Though popular for its paddle boat rides, the man-made South Pond had become stagnant and virtually devoid of wildlife. You guys remember that if you'd ever been in Lincoln Park in the last few years, but that's changed. Naturalized slopes and a new island welcome waterfowl and other aquatic wildlife. Prairie plants and more than 100 new trees also help revive the native ecosystem. I hope they've got some butterfly weed out there. And you can enjoy a walking trail around the pond and keep an eye out for black-crowned night herons, yellow-bellied sapsuckers, painted turtles, and more. Also watch for interactive displays and special zoo programs interpreting the new habitat. WRD Environmental was part of the South Pond Rehabilitation Team, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. WRD is a recognized leader in creating eco-friendly settings that bring people and nature together. For sustainable landscape solutions, choose WRD Environmental. And where can you find them? Of course, you can find them at WRDEnvironmental.com. Now, something we mentioned earlier, it's likely that you or someone you know has battled or is battling breast cancer. Well, from October 1st to October 10th, you can help fight the battle to find a cure by bringing home a pink hydrangea from Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center. I am happy to have them as a great new sponsor on the Mike Novak Show. As part of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Lurvy's is donating $3 from every sale of a pink hydrangea variety called Invincible Spirit. Invincible Spirit is as hardy and adaptable as Annabelle hydrangeas. They'll bloom from early summer to frost, but instead of white flowers, they produce a bouquet of hot pink flowers. Proceeds will go to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, which is dedicated to finding a cure by funding research at leading medical centers worldwide and helping to prevent breast cancer by increasing awareness about breast health. The kickoff party for Pink Wink at Lurvy's is Friday, October 1st from 5 to 7 p.m. Or stop in any day through October 10th. That'd be like October 1st, October 10th to pick up some pink. Lurvy's is located at 2550 East Dempster Street in Des Plaines. For more information, go to lurvys.com, L-U-R-V-E-Y-S.com. Be a gardener for life by purchasing a pink Invincible hydrangea from Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center from October 1st to October 10th. Tell your family and friends, and we'll be telling you in the next few weeks about a lot of other fall activities going on at Lurvy's. They're a proud sponsor of the Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
The clock is ticking. If your lawn is important to you, and I know that it is to a lot of people, the next several weeks are crucial. This time, plant a lawn that will become lush and green, doesn't need to be fertilized, and once established, will rarely need water. It's EcoLawn. It's a blend of seven fine fescues. It's envirological. EcoLawn grows slowly, so you don't have to mow often or ever if you choose. Its roots go much deeper than conventional lawn, so it can withstand drought, and it crowds out weeds, so you don't need pesticides. EcoLawn is available at Lake Street Landscape Supply, 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago, or go online. ECO-LAWN.com, EcoLawn. See, I had to play Little Pink Houses in
little,
honor
of that Farm Aid. John Mellencamp's a huge contributor to Farm Aid. So back to our Purple Cow Organics and how it's all connected.
And the pink with the October being
Breast Cancer
Awareness Month.
Yes, sir.
And the Lurvies thing. So it's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Yes, we're on at a new time. We're here till 11 a.m. Mighty House is now on Saturday morning, 7 to 9, if you were hoping to hear them. But we are in the studio, and we are talking to Bob Ehrlich, who is a butterfly, a monarch, really. It's not all butterfly, basically monarchs. Why is it just monarchs with you?
Well, that's the one that got me interested to start with, and it's one that's the insect of Illinois, I believe. It's the monarch butterfly. I just read that the other day.
Really?
Didn't know that.
Is that our official insect?
It's official insect, yes.
I shall look.
All right.
Look,
Heather always does the research.
I think I'm correct.
All right, we'll find out. Let's go to line two, and Peggy. How are you, Peggy?
Hi, how are you doing?
We are great.
I have a pretty large patch of the bright orange milkweed in my backyard. It's probably 4 years now. And I am just overrun with milkweed bugs.
Oh, yes, you are.
Overrun with them.
You're talking about butterfly weed. You're not talking about milkweed, right?
Okay, is that butterfly weed?
Butterfly weed is the little small orange flowers,
right, that's
or sometimes
what it is. Right.
You know, they will nectar off the flowers, but they will not lay their eggs on those plants. And the little milkweed bugs that are on everybody's plants this year, I never even saw them last year, and I have thousands of them.
I didn't see them last year either.
No, they weren't around. But this year, they're here, and they eat the oil from the seed pods. So
okay. They're
not harming the plants. And I think they're kind of cute, and I actually created a little pot and stick all the pods in, and that's where I have them all living right now.
Well, we found one caterpillar in there, the striped monarch caterpillar.
Wow.
And me and my grandson put it in a 10-gallon fish tank, and we were watching it. But I had to put some butterfly weed in there for it. But there were so many bugs on that I don't know if it attacked. The caterpillar died.
The caterpillar. Well, it's not supposed to be eating that plant. I mean, maybe the mom butterfly made a mistake laying it there, but it's just not used to eating that plant.
Oh,
it's,
really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What plant did she have?
Butterfly
in
weed,
butterfly
which is
weed.
One plant that is readily available at all the garden centers. They all sell that plant.
Yeah,
it's a nectar
beautiful
plant. It's not a host plant.
Okay. Now, how did the mom just made a mistake laying it?
I think she did, or it could be that. Yeah, I don't know. That's
wait,
the
wait,
most
but
logical.
I thought butterfly weed was one of the plants that you could use.
Nope. They do not lay their eggs on it. I've got
okay,
several.
Even though it's a chrysalis and everything else.
Yeah. Even though it's a milkweed.
It's not a milkweed. It's just called butterfly weed.
Huh.
That's the orange one.
That's the orange one.
It's beautiful.
So, yes, it's a beautiful
plant. I know
plant.
It. But I'm
only gets to be about 18 inches to 2 feet tall at the
right,
most.
Right, and yeah. It's got these orange and black bugs covering it. They don't bother anything else in my garden except for that plant.
That's the only, no. They only go on milkweed and butterfly weed. That's all they go on.
All right, I'm looking up Asclepias tuberosa, butterfly weed.
Yes.
Yeah, it multiplies by itself.
But I thought that, this is where I was mistaken, and let's clarify this. I thought you were saying that monarchs will feed on any Asclepias, basically.
They will feed, the monarch, the adult butterfly will eat any nectar from any plant, but the larva of the monarch will only eat milkweed.
Okay.
And that's not a milkweed.
Okay. All right. All right, I'm going to put butterfly weed, I'm typing this in, versus milk weed and see if they can even... Okay, here's butterfly weed versus milk weed. Wait, let's go back to...
It does attract a lot of butterflies.
Yes, it does.
We have a Facebook person already responded to the pupation video link, and it says, this looks like something out of a sci-fi movie from Monica... Hope I'm not mutilating her last name, Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Mila.
Let's see.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it is. And now I'm looking.
And they are the state insect. I found it. The Illinois State Museum. The state symbol, Illinois official insect, is the monarch butterfly. And do you know the Latin? Because it's written here. It's. I'm going to mutilate this too. Danaus.
I would say
Plexippus.
What?
Plexi.
Yeah. I don't know.
Plexippus.
Monarch is easier.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think.
And well deserved. They're stunning.
Plexippus or
Danaeus
something.
Plexippus.
Yes.
If you can correct me, 773-838-9278.
Are those little orange things, are those also aphids on there that I'm seeing?
I actually think they're more yellow than orange, but they only go to the milkweed and the butterfly weed also.
Yeah, because they're translucent, and they were all over when I put the piece of weed in there for the caterpillar.
Yes.
So he has it settled now for a hornworm with parasitic wasps on it to watch my grandson.
Oh, jeez. Oh, gosh.
So...
thank you, Peggy. I'm glad to...
I'm glad I clarified that anyway.
Yeah.
So go get yourself some milkweed next year.
I will. thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. We're talking to Bob Ehrlich, and we're talking about monarchs and raising them and then setting them free because butterflies are free. All right, here's why I got to take another short break, but I want to talk. You said there's been problems this year. It's been a tough year for raising monarchs, and I want to get to that in a second. Okay, Bob?
Sure.
All right. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Are you watching the leaves and some of your trees change color and drop early? This hasn't been the easiest year. You know, in some ways, just a lot of things. As I said, insects, plants, had some problems. It didn't help that many of us experienced flooding rains in July, which turned into near drought in August. Some tree roots might have drowned during the rains. The dry weather comes and the trees need moisture. There are fewer roots to do the job. And trees end up protecting themselves. They shut down or they drop some leaves so that they're not transpiring as much. That is, releasing water through the leaves because they can't take it up in the roots. Now, what do you do? Well, if it's an established tree, perhaps nothing. My Amelanchier lost a bunch of leaves, but there are still some left. And I think it shed the leaves it had to shed, and it's going to move on, and it's going to be fine. But if you planted a tree within the past couple of years, maybe 3 years, keep an eye on moisture levels this fall. And if it's particularly dry, which it hasn't been yet right now, we got a little rain yesterday. But maybe not everybody. Anyway, make sure you water with a drip hose if it's dry weather and you planted something this year. And you should invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look if you have any questions at all. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. And as I mentioned earlier, I can't stress enough how important it is to work on your lawn as we head into the fall. One of the best things you can do for your lawn is to add some cotton burr compost. I'm talking about Nature's Blend with Alfalfa and Humate by Back to Nature Compost. Nature's Blend with Alfalfa and Humate is a balanced blend of composted cotton burrs, composted cattle manure, alfalfa, and humate. Cotton burrs and cattle manure, besides their value as organic fertilizers, provide an important food source for beneficial soil organisms. Alfalfa is high in nitrogen, and humate is an important source of humic acid and micronutrients. It activates beneficial soil organisms. Nature's Blend with Alfalfa and Humate works great as a top dressing or soil amendment. And you're feeding your soil, which feeds the organisms, which feed your lawn. If you're not sure where to pick up Back to Nature products, go to backtonaturecompost.com. Not only will they tell you where, but they'll tell you which products are sold at which stores. You can't get everything at every store. Sometimes they get the little code, and you can see which of the products, like Nature's Blend, you can find at the stores. And you can find them at May Garden Center in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. We heard that earlier from Sandy Seberg. Here's a shout-out to Oconomowoc. The Barn in Cary, Illinois, and Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago. All right, now for this one, Heather, I've been told I have to sing.
Oh dear.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could wake up and find, well, you got to scan, and find that all our bulbs aren't rabbit food. I almost
works.
Got it right. It
was, that it, works.
See, this is for Bob-X, and it's the bulb planting season. And while we love animals, we don't always like them devouring our ornamental and food plants. Bob-X loves animals, too, which is why they make repellent products that are harmless to humans, pets, birds, and aquatic life, like Bob-X R Animal Repellent. Now, to protect your stock from deer, rabbits, and squirrels throughout the winter, just dip the bulbs in concentrated Bob-X R right out of the bottle. They tell you how to do it on the label. Allow bulbs to soak for 3 to 5 minutes. Remove the bulbs from the concentrate and allow them to air dry. I mean, this is the way you protect them over the winter and don't have the critters digging them up. Bob-X has been making environmental products since 1989 and does this with products that are free from petrochemicals, are made from natural and recycled ingredients. Of course, always read and follow label directions. And if you call Bob-X at 800-792-4449, you're going to talk to a living, breathing human being. That's, oh, wouldn't that be nice? You can find Bob-X products at Gobert's, South Barrington, Illinois, Village Farm Stand, South Highland, Illinois, The Chalet in Wilmette, Illinois. And remember, plants thrive and survive with Bob-X. All right, which I'm going back to, and the CD of the day is Chicago songs. Now I heard the Super Bowl shuffle earlier because
that's a little early yet. Yeah. You can't put the cart before the horse.
Oh no!
You can
no,
play
no.
that once we make the playoffs.
We just got to remember.
Knock wood.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we won't do any music. We'll just go back.
Well, just the video of the chrysalis pupating is now available on MikeNovak.net.
Yay! All right, go to my website. There it is, right on the homepage. See, ask Bob and ye shall receive. And it is too cool.
It is so cool. It like breaks through its own body. It's like something out of a sci-fi movie. She was absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's like Alien.
Well, everybody that does it I had a lot of people I started this year doing it. And some on a very small scale, but you know, my daughter in Waukegan did 75 last year, and she did 278 this year.
Wow.
It's a lot of butterflies.
Yeah, so how do you find the time to do that?
And how does one tag a butterfly?
Well, there's a little small tag that is adhesive on the back, and I put a toothpick under it and attach it to their wing. I didn't do that this year. I did it last year. I tagged 400 last year, but it was just so time-consuming and you know, I know my butterflies are getting to Mexico, some of them. I know they are. Because the butterflies that go to Mexico, when they come back in the spring to Texas and lay their eggs and the new generation for the year is born, they go back to where their mother came from. So the more we release here in the Chicago area, the more we'll come back here.
Well, wait. So you say
that's
know.
Cool.
How do you know? Because they come back?
They come back. And they were...
Might be somebody else's monarch.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm just... the offspring come to the area.
Don't
I'm
get so possessive.
They're not coming to my... You know, they're not coming to my garage looking for food. But
if they were smart, they would.
Area. They're coming back to the
you
area.
You know, these monarchs, they come back, and they're begging for corners on the street, and... It's just sad. I mean, you know, give a monarch a milkweed plant and...
They take a mile.
Yeah, they do.
I have butterflies every day. You know, I never used to see them before, and once I start...
I do, but only before the show.
Yeah, once I... You know, if you planted a butterfly garden out here in your parking lot where you didn't do so well with your squash and melons and tomatoes...
Hey!
We'll have butterflies
the tomatoes
out here.
Did great, pal, all right? The tomatoes did great. The squash, not so good.
Yeah.
All right, but let's get into that, because the same things... You know, we had mildew attack up
yes.
there, and I have to realize, because I did some reading recently and saw somebody was saying that the downy mildew was a huge problem this year, and I don't know whether what we had out there was downy or powdery mildew, but and I don't care because it killed off a
yeah.
couple of squash plants. You've been experiencing diseases with monarch butterflies.
Yeah, some of the monarchs... you know, and I don't know that much about diseases. I looked it up, and I'm trying to figure out why I lost a couple hundred caterpillars to disease, and I found out one of the things is a monarch butterfly can be infected, and every egg she lays is infected. And when the little caterpillar is born and eats the egg casing, it's already doomed itself. So I'm going out finding eggs, even on my own plants, and they have no chance. So, and there's a rust disease that's on the milkweed plants, and if the mother lays an egg on that plant and the baby eats the disease... It's cooked also. So and everybody has had these problems, and we all want to know why. Why, you know, why are my caterpillars dying? Why are my chrysalises bad? Or butterflies are born deformed? You know, it's hard to make a butterfly, and it really they have to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect for the monarch butterfly to be born. And you know, only 3 or 5 out of 100 eggs laid in the wild get. You know, turn into butterflies.
Well, that gets to that question. I've had people, when you were on last year, I had some folks say to me, what is he doing interfering with nature? Why can't he just let the monarch butterflies propagate on their own?
Well, you know, man interferes in all kinds of animals, in birds and fish and snail darts and snail darter. And, you know, they choose to help this animal or that, you know, we're going to cull, 1,000 deer in the forest preserves in the next couple of months because there's too many deer. I mean, man is stepping in and saying, you know, if the deer population is going to be bad.
Did I miss that story? Is this going on?
Yes, all the forest preserves.
How did I miss that?
With sharpshooters. That's how they're going to cull them. So, I mean, man has always chosen what to picked and choose what things to try to help. And I've chosen to try to help the butterflies. And because I read their story and you know, I enjoy it, and everything about it I enjoy.
And you're right. We do interfere in everything.
In everything.
So why not monarchs as
yes.
well? And it's a lot more fun. And you say that a lot of these larvae and eggs might not survive.
They definitely wouldn't survive. Yeah. And this year I started speaking at garden clubs, and I had people calling me from garden clubs. I have milkweed in my backyard, and I've seen monarchs. I bet you I got eggs and caterpillars. I went out to 2 homes, and these women they had a wonderful time this year raising butterflies. I showed them, here's what an egg looks like. They couldn't even tell what it was. You know, it's so hard to see. But they collected eggs, they collected caterpillars, and they're both going to release between 50 and 100 monarchs, where otherwise they've had milkweed for years and have never done anything. So they've now intervened in their own backyard. They're not going out into the wild and picking up eggs. And I had a lot of people do that. I had other people, I put out the word that I wanted to, you know, I would pass out caterpillars to people to let them raise. And I had people drive to my house from Kankakee, from Bolingbrook, from Lamont. They came and got caterpillars. And I get emails, and they just have a wonderful time. It's just like you guys got excited looking at one chrysalis. Can you imagine? I mean, one lady named her butterfly the other. Elmer is born.
I got that letter. I posted an email you got from a woman. Yeah, and I think it might be that might be the one
mm-hmm.
on my website this week. Mike Novak. In fact, here's the letter she wrote. I'm a mom. I'm a mama. Elmer was born around 9:30 this morning, and he hung around until about 2:30. Then it was getting frisky. So we took him outside. He kissed my cheek and flew off.
It was so fun.
And this is not kids saying this. This is most of the people that I got to release butterflies are our age or older, and they had a wonderful time.
I got to read you something. I went online, found this site, teachingwithmonarchs.com, and they talk about various diseases, but the first one is just terrifying. And then, first of all, they make it clear, and I can understand why they do this. They are very susceptible to diseases, monarchs and other butterflies. The best news is these diseases are not transferable to people, so don't worry that this is going to happen to you. But the first one is something called polyhidrosis virus, and or melt.
Yes.
Have you seen this?
I have caterpillars leaking green fluid around my...
It's caused melt. It says caterpillars...
They literally melt.
The caterpillar turns into a liquid which drips and splashes across leaves to be eaten by other caterpillars. Each caterpillar which melts contains literally a billion virus particles. When a caterpillar eats these particles, it will get the disease, and the stench of melted caterpillar is horrible. That just sounds... You could do a movie.
So wait, what happened to the poor little thing?
They just melt.
They get the virus.
Like the Wicked Witch of the Oz with the water bucket
style? I'm melting.
Oh, wow.
I haven't literally seen that, but I have... As soon as I detect one being, that I know it's sick. I know exactly what a caterpillar is supposed to do when I put it on a new leaf. I know their habits, their patterns. I've watched, released a couple thousand over the last couple years. So I know what they're supposed to do. If they do something different, I isolate them immediately.
Yeah.
Move them out of the aquarium with the other
ones. And then Nosema is a protozoan disease which affects butterflies. And I know Nosema affects bees as well. I can't even pronounce this one. O-E. It's a protozoan disease which affects butterflies which eat milkweed. Monarchs are notorious for OE.
There are problems. I mean, I tend, some people it really distresses them. My daughter really distressed her. I went to her house a couple weeks ago and she had some that should have been born. They were coming out of the chrysalis and they were all bad. Every one of them was bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And she was beside herself and my grandkids were beside themselves. Little Ethan was going, oh my God, what's going on? I took care of it for her. I got rid of them so she didn't have to. And I hate that part of what I do. But I celebrate the ones that I release and I feel sorry for the ones that don't make it. But I can't let it stop me from what I'm doing.
He's obsessed.
I'm obsessed.
I got one word for you, pal. Decaf, all right?
next week
I'm Kettle? I'd like you to meet Pot. Pot, this is Kettle.
Okay. Hey, listen, Bob Ehrlich, thank you so much. If you want more information, go to my website, because I've got a link there to Monarch Watch, and they have all kinds of information. You can. I'm not going to have you stalk Bob. I don't put his address down there or anything.
But they can get in touch with me. And next week I'll be in Lake Catherine in Palos Heights, and I'll be there with caterpillars.
How can they get in touch with you then?
You put me in touch with somebody last year. If they contact you, I'll be happy to show people what to do, help
send
them.
Send an email to mike@mikenovak.net.
And the website is monarchwatch.org.
That's the home base. Yeah. And I will be at Lake Catherine next Sunday from 11 to 4, helping people, showing them.
What a great place.
It's a great place. It's a day thing for kids. They have face painting and animals, hay rides. They got a reptile show. And I'll be there. And they have a tent full of monarchs also. So if you want to see what a monarch butterfly looks like close up, come on out to Lake Catherine.
You're going to have more fun than a tent full of monarchs. Okay.
That's better than a barrel of monkeys, I'll tell you what.
I'm telling you, it is. And probably, even with all their diseases, probably
still cleaner.
A lot safer. Yeah. Okay.
No chances of feces being
hurled
at you.
I will talk to you after the show here, Bob. But I want to let people know that the September-October issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on the stands. And if you have a Zone 5 garden, and unless you're listening to me on the internets, you have one, you should grab a copy. There are answers to gardening questions I get all the time, like, how can your garden and your dog live together in harmony? Hint, they can. And whether you can grow lemons in Chicago. Hint, you can, and maybe even indoors. And whether you can grow a low-maintenance, no-lawn garden in the city that looks fabulous. Hint, Alderman Ed Burke will tell you that if you work with my buddy Roy Diblick, it's an emphatic yes. And then there's my column on the inside back page. People ask me all of the time, why do I write it? I think I'm supposed to be insulted, but I don't have the sense God gave a Canada goose to be even vaguely bothered by that. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on newsstands all over the area, but you can subscribe and have it delivered to your door. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Shorter days and cooler nights can mean only one thing. Fall is on its way, so it's time to turn your attention to the outdoors and take advantage of the kaleidoscope of fall colors at SIDS. A new shipment of fun and fabulous fall annuals has just arrived from proven winners. Fall magic varieties are bred to perform throughout the fall season and until the snow flies. So visit SIDS soon to see what's new in the way of fall plants. SIDS also has other fall favorites like ornamental grasses, hydrangea, and variegated dogwood, plus tried and true favorites for fall, pansies, garden mums, ornamental cabbage, and fall kale. This is a great time to plant all that stuff. You're going to perk up your yard and be very happy you did. The Garden Center is getting ready for fall and Halloween season as well, with an overwhelming selection of home decor specialty items, including ever-popular scarecrows in all sizes, spooky skeletons, and so much more. You'll have to see it to believe it. I'll be impressed when they come up with a costume that represents Monarch Melt. SID, Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit SIDSonline.com. Remember, when you're done planting, bring your plastic pots and cell packs to SIDS for recycling. We're wrapping up the first day at our new time, 9 to 11. I hope some of you caught the show. I hope some of you were able to do it and sleep in a little bit. Before we go, I got this email from Donna Briggs, who said, could you please mention that the Illinois-Indiana District of the American Rose Society will meet for a convention and rose show Saturday, September 18th, in downtown Park Forest, Illinois. The sponsor is Sauk Trail Rose Society. I've spoken for them in the past. They're great people. The business session with Andy Plaz, I hope I pronounced that right, of Libertyville as guest speaker, will be in the dining on the Green Banquet Hall, the Rose Show exhibitors. At any rate, for more information about the show, John Pays, president of Sauk Trail Rose Society and chairman, give him a call, 708-481-8219. If you've got any questions or want other contacts, get a hold of me, mike@mikenovak.net, and I can pass along the information. That's next Saturday, Illinois, Indiana District of the American Rose Society in downtown Park Forest. And we got an email here, Heather, which you'll appreciate. I'm trying to get the we got the podcast now, and you can get an RSS feed. I'm about to get them on iTunes. And I've had this woman, Paula Peterson, who's been writing to me about, because she wants it on her. She says, she's written a couple of times, and I've been corresponding. She says, I feel like such a pain in the backside. I have no problem getting the show to play in my browser, just getting it to load on my iPod. I've tried manually loading everything. It looks like a URL, blah, 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 blah. She says, I'll be happy when you get onto iTunes. Artwork, schmark work. Just load the puppies up. I'm doing that. We're working on it. We are going to be on iTunes this week. It will happen. And again, if you didn't get a newsletter, write to me, mike@mikenovak.net. I can resend that.
And if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, it's easy. Lower left corner of the homepage, type in your email address, click go,
and you're off and running. And you will get one every two or three years.
Mike's very anti-spam.
I'm really anti-spam. All right, join us next week. In a couple of weeks, we're going to do a show on Richie Daly's legacy as a green guy in Chicago. I'm working on that right now, so I hope people stick around and listen to that in the coming weeks. What's our slogan as we get out of here, Heather?
Go green or go home.
We'll see you next week.